Hello and welcome to another interview on GivingCircleHelp.com, where we're compiling information and interviews from people around the country running their own giving circles so that we can learn from each other and improve our ability to make an impact with our giving. And today I am excited to welcome Linda Kimball with the Cadillac Area Community Foundation. Linda, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome. I'm very happy to help out.
I'm very interested in, you know, as a new giving circle, one of the questions that we come across is, well, how do we do this? How do we collect money? Do we need a nonprofit status? There are all these things that we need to think about. And one of those questions could be is, can we partner with somebody to help us with some of that work? And I know as a community foundation, you host a giving circle in your community. So I was wondering if you could share with us some of the benefits of partnering with a foundation and your giving circle efforts.
Absolutely, Sharon. We started working on our giving circle, I believe, back in 2009, and it really was, it sprouted out of a dinner, a luncheon that we had talking about philanthropy in women. And it was just to encourage our local ladies in our community to consider their own philanthropy, to not necessarily just rely on the generic philanthropy that, you know, their husbands might be involved in, but consider what's important to them. So we talked about it. We had a really nice presentation and a nice little lunch. And out of that conversation spread the desire to actually form some kind of official group. And because we had hosted it and several of our board members who are female were very adamant about, let's get this going. We can do this. There's no reason, nothing to stop us. All we got the foundation to guide us through it. And so we worked on an agreement and a fund agreement, and we provided the structure. They didn't have to reinvent, you know, the wheel. They didn't have to come up with their own language for the fund agreement. And we offered them some guidelines on their own bylaws, and we gave them guidelines for grant applications and how to recruit, new members, and just general advice that would help them get through, organizing their group. I attended all of their organizational meetings and, you know, was the person that could answer the questions that they had about, you know, well, who holds our money and how do we get reports and what kind of, you know, what do you do and what can we do as our own organization? So we offered them the assurance that if we held onto the money, we would be able to make sure that they were totally compliant with all the IRS rules and regulations. And we have access to legal advice. We have several attorneys on our board, as well as we can contact the Michigan Council of Foundation legal department and make sure that we're doing everything properly. And it offered them that continuity. And during their own leadership transitions, they only obviously, a lot of these ladies go south in the winter. Some of them are extremely active in the community. A couple of doctors and attorneys themselves who, you know, they look at this as something they want to do, but they don't want to put a lot of time into it. So we offer them that continuity. They only have a co-chair position, and they want to rotate that every 2 years. So they want to be sure that someone is always taking care of, you know, the background work, that we're filing our compliance, we're making sure there's nothing legal that is going to come back and bite them if they don't take care of it, because they're really out there just trying to recruit new members, review grant applications, and do good works in the community. They don't want to be dealing with all of the paperwork that goes along with being able to give away money correctly. And so that worked great. There's obviously, you know, some downsides, because they part of our fund agreement does require that a piece of the donation actually is going to be paying a fee, obviously for my time and our accountant's time, but they felt that was well worth the assurance of being able to create something without worrying about, you know, filing 990s and that kind of thing with the IRS.
Mm-hmm.
So they did have the fee issue. They said that's not really an issue that we have. We're good with that. We feel more comfortable working with an organization that's been around for 25 years, and you know what's required to make a grant, to give it away legally. So they were good with it. And so, after that, they've been around for, well, since 2010, and they've gone through two grant cycles and they're great at going out into the community themselves and encouraging, local organizations to write grant applications. But we hold copies of the grants. We make sure all the documentation is there. And then we give out, we actually send out the checks through the foundation. We ask for not only them to sign a grant agreement form, but we ask them to do an evaluation that the ladies can review at their meetings. So it really, they feel more confident that whatever they're doing is all totally legal and above board and documented.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's easier to set up because you come in and you're like, okay, so this is how you donate money, this is how you're going to store funds, this is how your bylaws need to look. So it's easier to start up, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then
yep.
easier to run because they can spend less time on compliance and keeping track of things and
Correct.
Focus on the donating of money and growing the circle.
Right. Exactly. They can do what they want to get involved with, and we can just do the work of the background work, the paperwork, and that kind of thing. So
mm-hmm.
It's worked out well for them. They're very happy with the circumstances, and they've created a piece of their program that for every $500 that each individual donates, $450 goes into a pass-through fund, which they then give back in grants. But $50 of it goes into an endowed fund, and that allows them the opportunity for people to donate to their fund at end of life. They can name their organization in their will, and have monies go right into their endowed fund, and then they benefit from the endowed fund now that it's reached its minimum, which for us is only $10,000 for that kind of fund. They now receive the interest at the end of the year, and that money goes back into their endowed fund. So that just keeps growing for them. So it gives them more of a in perpetuity.
Mm-hmm. And is that something that you guys suggested as the foundation that they should consider doing? Was it a requirement?
It was not a requirement. It was something that the lady board members that we had on it recognized the importance of establishing an endowed piece of any fund, and they themselves said, we have to do this. This is something that's really important. And without the endowed fund, there's no guarantee we'll be around in 10 years. So let's make sure that endowed piece is there, and with the help of the foundation, this group will simply change faces, but it won't change its purpose. It won't change what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. So now the Women's Giving Circle of the Cadillac Area Community Foundation can exist for
as long as they want it to. And, we have a portion in our fund agreement that says, well, if there's no longer anyone interested in working with this, no longer raising funds, no longer giving out grants, then eventually, the money could go back into the general fund for the foundation, but it still would have to go to the purposes that they set up the fund for, and in this case, it's women and children. So any grants that were given out from that fund that was put back into it, would be kept separate. And then the foundation board would take over the responsibility of giving out the grants. So even if every single lady that was involved in it lost interest, the purpose of the fund will still exist.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting. So one thing that I hear from people who are leading giving circles, it's a passion and a life calling for many of these women, and they devote a significant amount of their extra time to this project. I'm wondering if you can give us any sense how much time the members and leaders of this giving circle are spending with the giving circle activities.
I would say that the co-chairs and the secretary probably spend, they might spend 3 or 4 hours a month on it. They have one meeting a month, and it's basically getting together at a restaurant for dinner and talking about the needs in the community. And those are not required meetings. Those are just if you're in town and you're available, show up. And they average about 10 ladies at each one. They have about a 30-member group. So, and because the ladies are not always in town, they do have two required meetings. One is in May when they review their grants, and one is in October when they do their organizational meeting. And that is a part of their bylaws. You know, if you're going to be involved in this, those are two meetings you really should be at. And they, in fact, they just had their organizational meeting last Monday night, and it was great. They reviewed and talked and discussed a lot of the different needs in the communities, and talked about different grants that might be out there that they should be going out and exploring and talking to the people that are working with the issues. So,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if I answered your question, to be honest.
Yeah, no. You said 3 to 4 hours a month.
Yep.
So yeah, that makes sense. So you
that's
have
that's about right.
Okay, and you said that there are once a month meetings, but there are two primary meetings: is one mm-hmm. when you review the grants, and then when you're granting the money. Correct.
Mm-hmm. We review the grants in May, and then make the grant awards. The foundation office actually does all that paperwork, and then in October is the organizational meeting where we recruit new members, we talk about what our purpose is, and look for new grant opportunities, new needs. You know, what are the needs out there? Are they still the same things we've been seeing, or is there something else that's cropped up?
Okay. And it's in October when you actually donate the money?
No, that's in May.
That is in May.
They can donate, they can write their checks to the foundation anytime between October 1 and February 28th or 29th, whichever it is, and then they once that all that pool of money, that pot of money, is the money that is being granted in the following May.
Okay.
So it kind of goes over the calendar year, but they have about 4 months to get their checks to us. Obviously, it's a benefit if they do them yearly and they get it in before the end of the year, but it really doesn't matter. We just say, okay, there's the money, you've got to give it out, and the rest of the $50 per donation goes back into your endowed fund.
Okay. And you said that your organization does a lot of the paperwork involved with reviewing the grants. What does that mean?
Mm-hmm. Once we ask that the applicant email the grant application to our office, and that way we eliminate a lot of paperwork, but we still have to have the information and the documents filed. They send it to us via email, and then we send it out to all the members of the committee, so they see an email electronic version of the grant application. And then we keep a hard copy in our file. Any of them, when they review them in May, they review all of the applications. They've had anywhere from 5 to 10 applications at each review session. And I attend that meeting, and I keep record of the ones that they've approved and how much money they approved. Bring that into our office, and then we work through the paperwork that's involved in sending the grant to the individual that applied or the organization that applied, and then getting their signatures, and they have to do a press release talking about what it is. They have to send us then afterwards documentation on an evaluation of how well did that grant actually accomplish the goal, and then all those evaluations are sent back out in the form of email to the members of the committee, so members of the giving circle. So we kind of organize that internal piece, you know, that says this is what you got to review, and then we give it back to them as this is what happened with the money.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's the paperwork I'm talking about, and making sure the check goes to the proper location, getting the checks out to the organizations that requested them.
Okay. And Did you provide any guidance for how they should choose where they're going to donate?
The only guidance that I require that they make sure that they're whomever they're giving to is definitely a nonprofit, that it would qualify if it was a grant coming from the foundation, that then they can give it to them. They can, we encourage them not to give money to individuals. They have to give it to some organization that has, some background behind it, and that, they're an accepted non-charity or a charity in our community.
And do they then vote? Is it kind of a majority rules or is it just discussion?
No, it's definitely a discussion, and then they vote to determine. Somebody makes it's Robert Rules of Order. Somebody makes a motion to approve this grant application, and maybe it's for $5,000, and they think, you know what, we've only got a limited amount of funds. We'll give them $4,000, or they may approve the entire amount.
Okay. And how many people generally attend that meeting of the members who?
20 to 25,
Okay.
and some people aren't even interested in being in the meetings. They just want to contribute, and so
Yeah.
they send a check, and they're a member kind of in name only, but that's okay too.
Yeah. Well, I'm just thinking, a discussion among 20 people with Robert's rules can probably take some time.
It does. Yeah, we met 6 o'clock Monday night, and we left about 9 o'clock. But
Yeah.
we had dinner, and we but the whole event was really talking about, we were some of it was formal, some of it was informal, but they have to review, their minutes and that kind of thing. They run it very much like a foundation, or if you were looking at it from that aspect. They're very organized, and they keep minutes of every meeting, and so yeah, it works. They're pretty focused on making sure that this is a well-organized group.
Yeah.
Nobody feels uncomfortable about where their money is going.
That's good. That's good. Do you attribute that to the discussion portion of the evening?
That's a lot of it. I think, I'm not trying to give myself accolades, but I think having me present as a representative of the foundation, and they know, we have to meet certain standards. Also, having board members of the foundation as a member of this, as members of this group, is, I think it's reassuring to those that are coming on, that they feel like these folks are, number one, committed to the mission of the foundation, but they're also committed to the community. So that's very helpful.
And so you mentioned that, for all of the support and services that you guys are providing to the Giving Circle, there's a fee portion of the donations that come in, and it covers the expenses that the foundation is occurring. I was wondering if you could share with us what the fee is, and is
Sure.
what if you have any idea how that might compare to what other foundations might be doing.
Well, I do see a lot of other foundations' fee structure. Our fee structure is pretty much 1% for any type of fund except for a scholarship fund, because there is so much more detail involved in that. So that's 2% on a scholarship fund. That's 2% of the, the endowed portion. We charge them that for the use of our services. 1% barely covers it, but for this one, because we felt like we kind of germinated the whole program, we felt like it was worthwhile, and it does introduce the foundation to new potential donors. So I look at it as kind of part of our investment and promotion, marketing. So 1%, it may not cover my time completely, or the time of my assistant and my treasurer, but it's worth the investment, and it's one of our projects. So that's kind of the way we look at it. But a lot of the foundations in northern Michigan, anyway, are changing, are increasing their fees. Obviously, it's just costing more and more to do the internal work. And I've seen them, they're maybe going to 1.5% or 1.75% of, the total endowed portion of a fund.
If a Giving Circle is considering partnering with a local community foundation, do you have any advice for how to reach out and start the conversation?
Yes. Check, find your local foundation if you're, you know, in any county where there is a foundation, and most all of Michigan has foundations represented for all the counties, so that shouldn't be too tough. Sometimes it might represent four or five counties or a couple of counties, but they're all out there and all represented. And look for, you know, talk to the executive director about, you know, maybe there's already a women's giving or some kind of giving circle that they are helping to support, and you may not even have to recreate a new one, but find out what their policies are and are they willing to accept the fund. And you know, any time that there's, if you're coming from a group of ladies perhaps, or women or men or whatever, that want to do their own giving circle, it's nice to be associated with a local group, a local foundation. You get the benefit of their knowledge and their contacts in the community and their contacts with the media. So I would recommend definitely going with a local organization as opposed to maybe someone that's out of state or whatever.
Mm.
But they all offer the structure, so.
Okay.
But talk with the executive director, find out what their fee structure is. Are they willing to accept a new fund? Is there a minimum? Are they able to take pass-through money? Because that's kind of a key portion of this, the pass-through money. Most foundations are in business to create an endowment. Are they willing to do the pass-through?
Mm-hmm.
In addition to that, so,
mm-hmm.
and I would definitely recommend having an endowed portion of your group, because it does offer that long term concept for an organization that could be pretty, you know, you might get people who are really excited about it, and 5 years later they've all moved on or they found something else they want to be involved in, and so, you know, have they not replaced themselves, you know, within this group.
Mhm. Mhm. And one thought that comes to my head is, if you're doing an endowment, it would be nice to be able to at the same time do the granting, do the donating, so that people are still excited and engaged about giving money, and it doesn't feel like, you know, all that pleasure is, you know, reserved for someday when we have an endowment.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Well, that was fantastic, Linda. Thank you so much. I feel like I have a really good understanding now of the relationship between a foundation and a giving circle. Was there anything else that you wanted to mention that we haven't talked about yet?
We've covered a lot. I guess what I would advise is, you know, start with your board. If you as a director of a foundation are interested in getting a giving circle started out there, talk to your board. Find out if they're supportive of that kind of an organization, and if you are on the outside looking in, start with your director at that foundation and find out what the attitude is, what the acceptance factor might be, and then go from there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, work through the structure, and don't get caught up in all of the worry about the paperwork and how do we do this? Let somebody else do it. Don't reinvent the wheel.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great advice. Linda, thank you so much for your time today. I really appreciated it. I enjoyed our conversation.
Not a problem. Okay. Thank you. Good luck.